Hello, Kat.
It is an honor to be speaking to you. We're so excited that you're coming out to Ironstone Amphitheater up our way in September. Have you ever been out there?
Yeah. How's the song go? I've been everywhere. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. It's beautiful out there.
It's beautiful out there. Let's see. Tell me if I have the count correct. 8 gold records, 1 platinum, 1 double platinum, and you have played on every album that Fog Hat has ever recorded. Have I done my homework?
Yeah, I think it's a couple of them are now double platinums or whatever it is, selling records for some unknown reason. Oh, maybe because the music was all right in the first place.
It was awesome. It was awesome. Where did the name Fog...
That's in the bio.
I'm sorry?
I think that's what's in the bio.
It sounds like it's the truth. Where did the name Fog Hat come from? I've been listening to you since I was a kid in the 70s, and I don't believe I've ever heard the story behind that.
Okay. I know that. When our original lead singer, Lonesome Dave, was about 13 or 14, he was playing a kind of Scrabble game with his brother, John, who was a year younger. Dave made up the word, and his brother said, "That's not a word." So eventually, Dave got it right. Sibling rivalry, you know.
That's how the name Fog Hat came to be, a fake word in Scrabble?
Yeah, Dave made it up. And in fact, when we finished our first album in 1971, early 72, we were myself, Dave, and Rob Price, our original guitar player. I was driving into London from the country, and we didn't have a name for the band. And as we're going up the stairs to look at the artwork, like, well, what are we going to call ourselves? And that's what it was. We had a number of other names, but none of them seemed to sort of fit. This one seems to have fitted and still with us.
Yes, so, and it's done well for you.
Thank you, Dave.
Thank you, Dave. When did you first start playing the drums? I read where your dad took you to see a Jerry Lee Lewis concert when you were about 13, and you were never the same with regards to the blues. But what about those drums?
I started playing drums before I saw Jerry Lee when I was about 12 years old.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to play. And I used to work. I had 3 nights after school. I worked, and on Saturday mornings I worked when I was from about 10 or 11 years old. And child labor. That's all right.
Seriously.
Gainful employment.
Okay.
It gives you an understanding of when you're earning your own money. You know, I bought my own first bike. I put down my deposit on my first drum kit. My father had to sign on the dotted line. You learn about life that way, I think. Actually, I had fantastic parents. Anyway, my father came home one lunchtime. I used to go home for lunch from school, and Dad brought a Jerry Lee Lewis single. I'm not sure if it was Great Balls of Fire or Whole Lot of Shaking, but I remember the B-side was Mean Woman Blues.
Uh-huh.
And my father played piano too. He came from the east end of London, rather, and he said, have a listen to this boy. He can really play the piano. And my father took me to see him about 6 months later when Jerry Lee came over. And I was, as my mother said, he was never the same after that.
I love it. Well, what were the 70s and 80s like? I saw you. I grew up in the Bay Area, and it was Fog Hat and Outlaws. The Outlaws and Fog Hat, 1970-something. What were those years like when you were filling stadiums around the world? I mean, there's such a small percentage of people can speak to that experience.
Actually, it was mainly in the States. We only played one show in London in about 1975, I believe, the Rainbow Theatre, but that was it.
Mm-hmm.
We basically just played in the US and in Canada. It was great. Were you kidding? That was like tons of fun. Uh, I I love playing music, and it's all about playing. It's always about the music. That was really terrific. It was great fun. Everybody treats you like, you know, like you're some kind of royalty or something. And it was a terrific time to be into music. And there were some great bands at the time. I mean, we were playing, yes, with the Outlaws, with the Jay Giles Band, with Humble Pie. These are all like fantastic bands. So, it was a great time to be involved in music, and it was tons of fun. In fact, I still have lots of fun, actually.
Good.
I love what I do.
That's awesome. Okay, Fool for the City, I Just Want to Make Love to You, and Slow Ride. What of all your songs makes Slow Ride such an anthem? Why do people just love Slow Ride?
Well, actually, the song came from a jam. And myself and Rob Price, the original lead guitar player, owned a house out on Long Island, and we had the basement of our house soundproofed. Nick Jameson had just joined us on bass, who also produced a number of our records prior to that in 1975. And he came there, and we were jamming in the basement, and that was what became Slow Ride. And basically, the riff was like it was a riff, like a blues riff that John Lee Hooker would have played. Instead of played it in like 4/4 time, it was played as John Lee would have played it as a shuffle, and we just slowed it down a bit, and we got the whole arrangement to the song, and then they said, "I've got some words that will fit that," and that's how it came about. A number of our songs came from jams, like the music to "I Just Want to Make Love to You" came from jams that we would do when we were doing sound checks.
Wow.
And, you know, the lyrics, obviously, you know, it's from a Muddy Waters song that Willie Dixon actually wrote. So that was our first hit, which it wouldn't have been anywhere near as good as it was, I think, if had Nick Jameson, who produced that, my first album. How could I forget Dave Edmonds? Dave Edmonds produced our first album. We've got a fantastic producer and musician. He put his magic dust on that thing.
I love it. Magic dust.
And that's why it turned out so well, I think.
I love it. I ask classic rock artists this whenever possible, because I have children in their 20s who love your music. And it's easy to please we longtime fans, but you have new ears in the audience as well. And what's that like? The whole new generation appreciating music like Foghat and other music from the 70s and 80s.
We do have a lot of younger folks coming to see us, which I think probably says maybe we got it right in the first place. You know, it's like, it's rock and roll music. You know, the US, America, it gives music to the world, always has. You know, it started off, you know, with the first recordings, you know, blues music, jazz, big bands, country and western, gospel music, and even to this day, the US exports music to the world. Italy, Japan, China, they have blues singers, rappers, R&B singers, of course France, and of course England. But all music has stemmed from here. The rest of the world like takes it and they put their take on it, as it were. This is the land of music. And I remember I was out in Colorado one time, my wife and I were riding our bikes around there, and we went into this music store. Over the music store, there was this sign that said, "Without music, life would be a mistake."
Oh.
And so I'm living in the land of music and where music comes from.
I love that. No sign of slowing down, huh? I don't see any farewell tours on the books for you gentlemen anytime soon, huh?
No.
I love that.
Foghat's farewell tour will be when I'm in a box.
Perfect. That works. What would today's Roger Earl, you've been drumming for over 40 years, what would today's Roger Earl tell your younger self, that young person all those years ago?
Back then it was day to day. I never sort of really thought too much about the future. It was all about music, about playing that night, that gig, working on sisters, the... I think I've improved. Have I improved, darling?
You're good.
Wife,
you know what?
I've done much better.
Oh, I thought you were asking me.
No. I was asking my wife. She was our office manager back in the mid-70s.
Ah.
And she wouldn't have touched me with a 10-foot pole back then. But we always remained friends. And
then you got married.
We became more than friends about 20-odd years ago.
That's fantastic.
She said she wouldn't touch me then, but I'm much improved, apparently.
So fantastic.
Like a fine wine, you get better, or is that a moldy cheese?
With age.
I'm not sure.
Yes. I've read a couple of times in my homework for you, I read a couple of times where you say, be careful what you wish for. And then I read again, be careful what you wish for. What did you wish for? What's all this?
I wanted to play music. I wanted to be involved in music. I was... Originally, my first real job was being a commercial artist from between 15 and 21. That was my day job. That paid for the drums and cymbals. But careful what you wish for. When musicians tend to sort of put their music and band before everything else, certainly the ones that are successful do, and even the ones that aren't successful, it comes first. We get very selfish and... there's another word, but I can't really think of it at the moment, about our music. It takes over everything. Hmm. And now it's a little bit easier because, we can do whatever we want. And we still make records about every 2 or 3 years. We have a new album coming out. We had one released about 2.5, 3 years ago called Under the Influence that Tom Hambridge, great producer, produced with us. And, I'm going to continue to make music. I have another side band that came out of that project called Earl and the Agitators with a lead guitarist called Scott Holt, who was with Buddy Guy for 10 years.
Wow.
Great singer, great guitar player. And in fact, we were just down in Florida a couple of months ago and recorded like 4 more songs. So music is going to be around. And I'm going to continue to do it until, as I said, the day I depart.
I love that.
That's not going to be soon either.
Perfect. I've got this recorded, so we've got your word on that you're going to play until you're no longer with us. And Northern California is so excited to have you coming to the Ironstone Amphitheater out in beautiful Murphy's. Lovely wine country, by the way, and that's on September 7th.
Right.
So thank you for your time, and I'll be out there in the crowd howling and screaming on the 7th.
I'm looking forward to meeting you, Kat.
Thank you, Roger. It was a pleasure.
It was a pleasure here. Bye.
Bye now.